Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Let's look ahead to what's coming up on our big and small screens in the week ahead. And I'm joined today by Gráinne Humphreys, director of the Dublin International Film Festival, and by film critic with the Business Post, John Maguire. You're very welcome, guys.
Hi, Brent.
Good to see you.
John, Slow Horses Season 3 on Apple TV. I started it based on your recommendations.
From a while ago,
I lost them halfway through season two.
No.
Is it worth it?
When this dropped in my inbox, you can now watch Slow. I ate it up. Yeah. And I just watched the whole thing right through. I had other things to do, but I could, once you watch
you
two of these,
add, yes.
once you've watched two of these, you just have to see how it goes. It must see TV for me. The third season of Apple's adaptation of Mick Herron's superb Slough House series, this series of spy novels. He's the heir to the Le Carré throne, if you ask me. He's as good as it gets in British spy espionage novels.
But with a huge comedic element.
Oh, he's very funny, but he's also very real. You can, when you're reading them, you can smell it, if you know what I mean. Yeah. You smell the world that he's conjuring here. And this is probably his best novel, Real Tigers. This is the third season. The Slow Horses are dud spies who either made mistakes or otherwise messed up somehow. They're sent by MI5 to moulder in this crumbling office building, far from the beating heart of the Park, which is headquarters for them of British espionage. Essentially, they're put out to pasture and given nothing useful to do. But as always, when you have the underdogs, they become centrally involved in the biggest thing that's happening and ultimately save the day. And their boss is Jackson Lamb, who's this career spy. He's played by Gary Oldman with this pungent personal. He's brilliant,
fantastic.
Yeah. And he stinks. He's got this pungent personal hygiene, gargantuan appetites, most of which actually involve chewing up every scene that he's in. He is the focus of it, the whole thing. And in this story, when there's an agent is murdered in Istanbul, trouble finds its way back to London. And the HQ MI5, which is second in command, is Kirsten Scott Thomas, Diana Travers, who's a deadly operator.
She's great too.
Absolutely superb. This group of rogue spies are trying to find a secret file in order to expose some horrible wrongdoing and the Slow Horses.
But highly recommending anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
Season 3, Slow Horses.
It's on Apple TV from the 1st of December. And they're all there now.
Yeah. All there. Okay. Gráinne. There's a Richard Curtis Christmas film with Melissa McCarthy coming on Sky on December 1st. Is that right?
I know.
How come we haven't heard more about this?
Well, he did come out and say that he apologised for his fat shaming. Do you remember that he had done in previous films and that he had kind of decided that going forward that wasn't going to happen?
Okay.
So I kind of wondered, was there something coming up? But like you, Brendan, I went, oh my God, what we be expecting for the kind of run into the Christmas kind of like classics, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then Genie popped up, literally. So it is yet another, and I was just saying to John, it's another film beating up workaholics, which I think, you know, is very unfair.
At Christmas
they work
time,
really hard and they're really nice people, so they don't need to be constantly
described.
John
had to watch all those episodes.
But it is another one of those stories of somebody who is so busy at work that they don't maybe see and make enough time for their families, and then suddenly something comes into their lives and shows them a different way of viewing their lifestyle. And Melissa McCarthy is the genie that pops into this New Yorker, because the other thing I realised is that New York is the ultimate Christmas city.
Everything happens
in New York, right? But it's really funny. And I, even though I feel like we know this story back to front, he manages as a screenwriter to bring some lovely, lovely touches into it. There's a very funny gag about how many wishes. It's not just three. It's as many as you want. And then don't do certain kinds of wishes because obviously you'll change the course of history. But it involves gags about Tom Cruise to the Mona Lisa. It's genuinely brilliantly cast and really energetic. And
for all the family?
90 minutes.
Hmm? Oh, 90 minutes. Lovely.
There you go.
For all the family? For
everybody,
watch.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
December 1st. As I said, big surprise.
We haven't had a good new Christmas film, I feel, in a while. Okay,
great. In a while. And the other one, the Love Actually one, will, as we know, be coming back. I think it's in the cinemas as well, isn't it, John? That'll be coming back. And it'll be really interesting to see him go back towards this part of the year.
Yeah.
And I thought to do something really interesting.
Do it every year. Okay, that's Genie, and that's coming on Sky on December 1st. John, Fargo season 5 on Prime. I think a lot of people kind of might have given up on Fargo at some stage.
Season 4 was a problem. I have to say, I loved season 4. That's the one with Chris Rock, where you're talking about black entrepreneurialism in the 1950s in Kansas City. They're back to basics with this season 5. Noah Hawley's crime anthology. It opens with the legend familiar from the Coen Brothers 87 a 1997 classic, This Is a True Story. But of course, it's true that it is a story, but it has nothing to do with the truth. They're chasing much bigger game with Fargo. Every season is nothing less than a battle between good and evil. And sometimes those lines get blurred. So there's 10 50-minute episodes. And it's the closest Fargo has come so far to the original Fargo in terms of story and theme. It revolves around a kidnapping. There's a wealthy parent paranoid about scams, a pair of vicious killers, and this determined, good-hearted cop who gets involved in the middle of it. It's very Fargo. But we're in contemporary times, 2019, in the town of Scandia in Minnesota, covered in snow, everything is freezing, and this otherwise unremarkable housewife and mother named Dot Lyon, played by Juno Temple, sticks a taser in a cop's neck at a fight at a parent-teacher meeting, and which has inexplicably turned into a riot.
Already. Yeah.
Things don't improve from there for her. She's bailed out by her husband. She's given a grilling by her billionaire mother-in-law, who's played by Jennifer Jason Leigh. She goes home to lie on the couch, and then she's kidnapped by two men. She gets into a shootout between a psycho criminal and a cop. Then she goes home again and tries to pretend that nothing... This is all the first 40 minutes, by the way.
Okay.
This is all happening in the first 40 minutes. Who is this woman? Where did she learn these skills? Who gave the order to kidnap her? Enter John Hamm, who's the sheriff of a local... in a neighbouring county, who's this Bible-quoting lawman who's got very peculiar ideas, a real Trumpian kind of character, who rules his patch like a king, and he's chasing Don.
Okay, Fargo's
back. And it
back.
Goes in there.
It?
Oh, it's super okay, back, Brendan. Great. This is as good as it gets. Brilliant writing, career-best performances from the whole lot. And I don't say that lightly. I mean, this is as good as it gets. Must-see TV again. I mean, I'm gushing. That's two shows,
it's
Brendan.
Yeah,
and
brilliant.
I'm gushing about both
this
of them.
Is, this is going to set people up for the next
good,
month
when it's good,
of
it's good.
Couch you know, rotting.
When it's good, it's good.
Grania, it's something a little bit more serious now. Lockerbie on Sky Documentaries, you're saying is terrific.
Yeah? I thought it was, yeah, I've seen the first two episodes. Now, I mean, in a way, you know, the first one, I just felt so intensely sad because, you know, you watch the story unfolding and the people of Lockerbie talking about what was happening that night, how close it was to Christmas, the dynamic of people, you know, suddenly their lives, you know, just after 7 o'clock, literally changed forever. And it does have footage that I found incredibly moving and powerful of suitcases that had landed into fields and people recounting the parts of the village that were, you know, changed and destroyed. And a beautiful story about two farmers who had a relationship with a body that they found in the field and wanted to stay with it until the authorities came, that they didn't want anything to happen to it. So really powerful, very moving. And because even though it's in the past, it felt that the people were accounting it in such a fresh way. And then it moves into a discussion about what actually happened and the 270 people who died on the plane heading from Heathrow to the US that exploded over Lockerbie, how and who was involved and what were the reasons for it. And then there's one particular character, Dr. John Swire, whose daughter Flora died on the plane, and he becomes, if you like, one of the kind of chief investigators in a way to try and find out and to find out what happened. And then the second piece that I've watched so far, it is really about the FBI and the different power forces involved trying to find out and lock down exactly what happened.
Okay,
but
so
really powerful, very urgent filmmaking. And I thought really well done.
Okay, that's Lockerbie on Sky Documentaries out now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Started last
Let's
night.
Do a bit of cinema. John, Eileen in cinemas next week.
I was watching Eileen and I was looking at Anne Hathaway and I was thinking, first of all, I hadn't seen her for ages. And second of all, I haven't seen her as good
her
in
ages.
Anything
yeah.
for even longer than that. She's really, really good in Eileen, which is directed by a guy called William Oldroyd, who a few years ago made a great film with Florence Pugh called Lady Macbeth. And here Hathaway plays the femme fatale Rebecca, who's this glamorous blonde psychologist, psychiatrist in a reform home for teenagers in Massachusetts in the late 1950s, early 1960s. First day on the job, she meets shy, mousy Eileen, who's played by Thomasine McKenzie, a superb young actor. And she's this college dropout working as a secretary in the prison who spends her days dreaming about sex and her nights looking after her ex-cop alcoholic father, who's played by Shea Whigham, who she despises. and the two become friends. There's the hint of something deeper development between the two of them, just as Rebecca takes on the case of a disturbed teenage boy who had murdered his father and was incarcerated for that. And it's adapted from a novel that people would have read. It was a very popular novel by a writer called Otessa Mofechie.
Yeah, a brilliant.
A really best-selling
novel. I actually
went
and read all her other novels then.
Did you? You enjoyed it?
All terrific. And I think there's a short story collection as well. She's like no one else, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there is a sense of that, a really urgent, really sharp, close character observation throughout it. And it's kind of sleazy as well. There is this kind of sleazy touch to what's happening. But to me, it actually wasn't sleazy enough. It could have been a bit more lurid. And the ending is disappointingly rushed. I mean, we just drop out of the story, really, in the last act. And that was disappointing, because just as you're really getting between the two of them, it kind of slips off. And that I found a little disappointing. But there's a lot of good stuff here. Eileen, from the 1st of December in cinemas nationwide.
Okay. Gráinne, May, December. Sounds fascinating.
Well, just following on from John and Lourdes, I mean, this is basically the new film from Todd Haynes. It's got Julianne Moore, who we've worked with many, many times before, and Natalie Portman. And it sounds like the kind of classic melodramatic kind of like setup, I suppose, in that it's about a woman who had an affair with a much, much younger minor, a boy. And she has, you know, created a life with this man now. And she's played by Julianne Moore, and Natalie Portman plays an actress who's going to star in a film of this scandalous relationship. And so she goes to live with Julianne Moore and to kind of, you know, find out, if you like, nearly with kind of first-hand research, what her real story is, what the background is to their dynamic, and how it came about, and whether it's real or what is the relationship now. And it's brilliant. It's like this wonderful kind of, as I said, kind of old-fashioned melodrama in these two incredible actresses giving it loads. I mean, literally loads. The soundtrack, just to play it out, is from the Joseph Losey go-between. So this incredible sort of amplification of the kind of core kind of dynamics of obsession between, you know, Natalie Portman kind of trying to work out, why did this woman do it? And is it real? It's a kind of parasitic. It's also about performance. It's about an actor trying to take as much as they possibly can from their subject. And there is a scene where she literally turns into Julianne Moore I just think is one of the great moments.
Yeah, I really like this one too.
That you're going to see in cinema this year.
Brilliant. December, and that is out now.
Yep.
John, can we not in cinemas, but cinema adjacent? So Faraway Downs on Disney Plus.
Oh dear.
Baz Luhrmann is recycling.
Recycling is old films. Very good word, Brendan. This is Australia, an epic, a very self-conscious epic that Baz Luhrmann directed a couple of years ago.
Quickly,
with two great Australian actors, Nicole Kidman and Hugh Jackman. He's had a huge amount of footage. Even though the thing was, when it was released in cinemas, it was about 3 years, 3 hours long. Now it's 4 hours long.
Okay.
So never mind the quality, feel the width. And it's the same story. Once again, Lady Sarah arrived from England to sell her late husband's massive estate down under. Struck by the beauty of the country, falls in love with Hugh Jackman, and it goes from there.
Okay,
the best we can say about it is that it is longer. But it is no better.
Okay. And Gráinne, you have a Hong Kong film season coming up at the Lighthouse Cinema as well. Sorry, we don't
quickly. Yeah.
No, not very quickly, but I'm mentioning
Thank
it.
You.
Tell me about
that
it. I'll
tell you about that.
Sorry. Thank you very much, Gráinne Humphreys and John McGuire. You can listen back to all the conversations from today's show on the RT Radio app.